Welcome back to another episode of My Neighbors Are Dead. I'm your host, Adam Peacock, and we're all familiar with the big names in horror. Freddy, Jason, the Farmer City Monster. But who we're not familiar with are the ones just outside the terror, the ones who didn't get to tell their tales. And helping me do that this week, comedian Janitra Tall. Janitra, how are you?
I'm doing all right. How are you? Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks for doing this. We're talking about 1992's Candyman. Janitra, why did you pick this movie?
This movie's kind of my nemesis, if I'm going to be honest. I'm not a big horror. I'm not a big horror fan. Scary movies give me a lot of anxiety.
Okay.
So when I was little, Candyman was the first horror film that I remember. So I think I saw it when I was like 8, is what I want to say. And I was too young.
Sure. Yeah, that is pretty young.
I was too young and too sweet for all that. That was a lot.
And how did you come across it at such a young age? Did you find it?
My parents were watching it.
Great.
And I remember I was sitting behind my dad's Lazy Boy because I was like, yeah, we're family movie. Let's do this. Which is weird because we're not a horror family. But for whatever reason, we were watching Candyman that night. And that's when my sister kind of found her like for horror films. And I was like freaked out. I sat by my dad's Lazy Boy and I would peer around the corner at all the wrong times. And I remember I couldn't go into a bathroom without turning the light on for years. Like,
sure.
Well into... I think I was like 21 when I was like, I think I can let go of this part of the fear.
Right. I'm well into my 30s and I still think there's a chance that if I say Candyman several times into a mirror, he'll show up.
He will.
He will. When I talk to people who either love or hate horror, it's for a myriad of reasons, but you were sitting behind your dad's Lazy Boy. What was your dad's response to all of this? Was he enjoying watching you being scared? Did he know you were there? What was he like in all of this?
I don't remember interacting with my dad that much during that. Mm-hmm. He doesn't really take joy. Like, he's not a prankster or anything like that. He doesn't really get joy out of like scaring people.
He's a good man.
Yeah. My dad's like a good man, so I'm going to be honest. He was probably asleep because my dad worked. dad worked long hours, and so I bet you he was just asleep in that chair as I'm just like having a meltdown of the
century. Sure, yeah, yeah.
And my mom was sitting across from him, and I don't think she could see me.
Okay,
I think they were just like, Janitra's behind the chair; she's fine. And I was like,
"What was? I'm most certainly not fine.
You've let a demon into this house.
That's right. You did this to me. Do you remember? If you don't remember, that's totally fine. But do you remember that night after the movie? What was your? Because it took you to 21 to turn on a light in the bathroom. Do you remember what that night was like for you after you had seen that movie?
Yeah. Yes, I do.
Oh no.
Because I remember that I had to go. And
yeah.
I went to my I have a twin, identical twin, Samshree, and I asked her to come with me. And she was like, no, I'm not going with you to the bathroom, which is the appropriate response. That's the response you're looking for.
Right.
But I was like, I don't know if you could. I made her sit in the tub. That's right. Because she felt so weird about like being in the bathroom with me. And I was like, but I have to go so bad and I can't. I just can't. And we closed the shower curtain so that Sonja could feel like separated. But she sat in the tub and I went to the bathroom. And then we left together. She's a good sister.
You have a good family. Your family's amazing. That's a great sister, great mom, great dad.
I hope all of you out there are jealous now. I'm living the dream.
You should be jealous of Denisha's family. They're all great. That was your nemesis. Candyman's your nemesis is the first one you remember. Have there been any others since that maybe have come close to taking Candyman's spot as your nemesis? Or does Candyman hold that spot for all of eternity?
Candyman holds this spot in all of eternity. and I've tried... a couple years ago, I did this thing where I was like, I shouldn't be... I'm in the film industry. I shouldn't be afraid of... I understand how it all works.
Sure.
So I shouldn't be. So I started to watch horror films. I went really slow. Mm-hmm. I saw Get Out and I was like, okay.
It's great.
I walked away from that one feeling okay. Then I watched, what's the one where the guy has all the needles in his face?
Hellraiser?
Hellraiser. Watched Hellraiser.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is stupid.
You know what? It is kind of stupid when you think about it.
It didn't make, I didn't understand. I don't know. The premise of it just kind of fell a little flat for me. And then the turn was like, oh, okay. Okay, I guess,
I think Hellraiser is kind of close to Candyman because, you know, in both of their own unique ways, they're about love and romance, I guess, and in certain,
I don't know if however Candyman you get down is with about it. That. Is that what Candyman's about? I got to tell you, I haven't visited.
It's a long time ago. He falls in love with a white woman and he is murdered. And that's how he becomes Candyman. He comes back for revenge. So he's in love. His only crime was that he was in love. And in Hellraiser, it's, you know, about bringing back a dead lover because that's you're cheating on your husband with his brother. And then, yeah, so,
oh, that's,
you know, in their own kind of ways, they're like that, I guess.
And I guess I fear love so much that I'm like, get away from me. This is stupid.
I wonder if that's how it started. Was it Candyman that made you fear of love?
Candyman is what put me on the run.
There's so many good lessons in that movie.
There's so many good lessons. I associated it with Bloody Mary. Because you have to say their name
right
in the mirror, yeah, and then they come out. That's all I ever associated it with. So when we would do sleepovers, some people are like, let's do Bloody Mary. I was like, I'm going to go hang out with your parents. Let's go see what the movies they're watching. Hopefully nothing too scary. I can't be a part of whatever demon thing you guys want to bring into this house. Can't do it. Is there more a theme ice cream that, left?
Absolutely. Well, yeah, you go into a party to eat ice cream and like, you know, do bits. There's a theme that's kind of popped up over and over and over again of like people who were exposed to horror movies or anything scary when they were kids at sleepovers or birthday parties. And it's always, it feels like that's the moment you decide I'm going to be 35 and go talk to their dad or mom about whatever things are happening in the world right now when you're 9.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember becoming good friends with my friend's parents because I was like, oh, I'm not going to do that.
right.
But I think your parents are playing Wii in the, so I'm going to go over there.
I mean, yeah.
I mean, like, no joke. Gosh, if you guys want to know how cool I am.
Please.
My friends, they were like, we all came over to my friend Chris's house. And I feel like Chris is a generic enough name that you won't go searching for his family. And they were like, oh, we're going to go.
Six cousins named Chris.
We're gonna go. We were supposed to go see a movie. Well, I can't remember what movie we were gonna go see, but they changed it last minute and they went to go see a horror film. And I stayed behind. I think Sean Strait did too, my sister, because I didn't go. No. So it was like, we can't separate because we were still young. Or we're still in our teens, like we're still under our parents' roof. We can't do that.
Sure. Yeah.
They went. And I, Son Trey and I stayed. We stayed and we played Wii with his parents for a long time. I think they went and came back. We were like, what's up? We're having a great time here.
Yeah, parents are much cooler, I think, than we give them credit for.
Yeah. Parents are cooler. That's right, kids. Adults are cooler than you give us credit for.
Yeah, we're not that bad.
We're not that bad, we promise. We can just see the bad thing coming already. Whereas you can't see the bad thing coming. We're like, the bad thing's coming, so maybe we should stop doing this. And that feels restrictive. I get that.
Yeah, we're like the old gas station attendant in any horror movie that warns you not to go up there.
Yeah.
Wherever that is.
Listen to the gas station attendant. They're not trying to hold you down. They're just trying to help you get out alive.
I think we need to be more trusting of people, Janitra, because if somebody is so adamantly trying to convince a stranger not to go somewhere, there's probably a good reason for that.
Yeah. And they're always like, on the side of the road. They look disheveled as I don't get out. And they're like, beware of the mountain. And everybody's like, let's go to the mountain. I'm like, did you not see that person?
Yeah. Yeah. We don't, that doesn't apply. That type of mentality of like, I'm just going to do it anyway, doesn't apply anywhere else except for something spooky.
Except for something spooky. You know, they're always like, good ideas usually start out as bad ideas, but then they're also just like bad ideas. And I think we should know the difference.
I would be remiss if I didn't ask, Janitra, where do you fall on bees? Because bees are a huge part of this movie and of Candyman's arsenal. Where do you fall on bees as an animal? Like, dislike, indifferent?
I'm indifferent to bees. I, of course, stiffen up when they start to fly around me because I don't want to get stung.
Sure.
I've only been stung once, and it was last year. Was the first time I've ever been stung. And it was probably...
Wow, you made it a while.
I did, because Candyman told me to stay away. And and the sting wasn't that... Fortunately, I wasn't allergic. The sting wasn't that bad. So, like, bees don't bother me.
I hate them. I hate them. And I think I've only... I hate all bugs. They're all gross. They're all trying to get us.
They are.
They all want to get us. I think the only time I've ever been stung, I stepped on a dead bee when I was a kid. I was running out the back door to go to a little pool that we had set up in the backyard, and I stepped on a dead bee, and it destroyed
final,
me.
It's final.
It's over.
Like the hand through the, but except for right into your foot.
And Candyman is your nemesis, and insects, specifically bees, are mine.
Wow. Where did you get your love for horror films? I'm sure you've talked about it before, but I'm curious.
I have. There's an older kid in the neighborhood who, you know, when we were able to go to his house, he would play Halloween. And my grandfather, he worked at Ford. He was a supervisor line guy at Ford, and he would get a VHS tape with three movies on them. And more often than not, they were always some type of horror movie. So when I would spend the night at their house, I would sneak out and I would watch him. I would watch him at night.
Wow. You would sneak out to go watch horror films.
Like, I would sneak out of the bedroom. They'd both be sleeping. So I'd sneak out and I'd sneak into the living room and I'd watch a spooky movie.
Oh, I'm like thinking you're sneaking out of your house.
Oh, no. I was very young. I would sneak out into the living room or wherever the TV was set up. Yeah.
That's wild. I was sneaking like newsies, you were like sneaking horror films.
I'm sure if my grandfather would have had newsies, I would have watched that too.
Yeah, fair enough. Grandfather set you up for, honestly, success, it looks like.
I think, honestly, Janitra, the only, like, horror movies, and I remember one summer in their little phone stand. I don't think I've ever said this before on here. They had a little phone stand with a little, cabinet underneath it, and they had tapes in there, and I went in there to sneak out to watch a movie while everybody was outside, and that was the first time I saw Eddie Murphy Raw.
Whoa.
And I was like, I don't know what this is, but I like it because he's swearing a bunch.
He swore. Oh man, Eddie Murphy's Raw is basically like, do you want a list of all the cuss words and how to use them? Let's watch
it. It blew my mind. Yeah. And you go back and tell your
funny.
It's so funny. Much as an adult, much, much funnier than when I was a kid, but you're right. It's every curse word and how to use it. And you'd go tell your friends, like, you know, there's words we haven't even heard yet that are on this thing that we can say.
It's wild.
It's so wild.
This word exists. And I think I know how to use it.
Yeah. Yes. And I, cause I'm such a dork, Janitra, I did not know how to use those words.
Me neither. Let's just be honest with ourselves.
S word. Yeah, didn't know how to do it.
I think it still sounds weird coming out of my mouth, if I'm being honest, but whatever.
Yeah, I think I'm winding down on the part of my life where I still think swearing makes me look cool. Because it doesn't. I've never been cool.
That's okay. I have just one more. I didn't realize how silly horror films could be until Nightmare on Elm Street, which I did watch when I was young, and that was another one that I was like, bye guys, can't do this. But I watched it again when I did my little, I think I watched like five horror films, and I was like, I think I've done the Lord's work. Got out of there. One of them was Nightmare on Elm Street, and I didn't realize how many puns That I think that Freddy Krueger's probably my favorite because it's just all puns. He's it dad is, jokes.
Absolutely. I love it. I don't know if it does a disservice to somebody. We're like, I can't be scared of you, man, because you're making me laugh.
Yeah. I mean.
That's tough. It's tough.
Oh, man. You think about how he was like eating whatever she was or the like a snake, like mm-hmm. eating the whole body. But then right behind it, he's like, I don't know, some terrible, terrible pun. And you're like, you just ate somebody.
Yeah. Yeah. You've not only committed murder, but done it in the worst possible way.
You've committed two crimes.
Yeah.
And I think the joke was worse.
I don't know. Yeah.
That's up.
It's going to take a while for us to reconcile that.
I will have to think about it. I think I'm charging you for two crimes.
We're going to have to, please, at some point, Janitra, you have to come back and we should take some time and come up with a bunch of like really awful horror puns for like, you know, things that don't require them. Like,
absolutely.
You know, we'll do that. And I also would love to keep talking to you about bees. Unfortunately, we do have to take a break and I'm very excited because from Chicago, I used to live in Chicago. We're going to get an actual beekeeper in here, Janitra, to talk about bees. So we have to take a break. We're going to come back and talk to the beekeeper from Chicago, Howard. But Janitra, thank you so much for coming by and telling us a little bit about your horror movie experience.
Thank you so much for having me. This was great.
Thank you very much. Hey neighbors, Adam here. Have you been enjoying My Neighbors Are Dead? Well, there are two quick and easy ways you can show your support that only take a second. First, leave us a rating and review in your podcast player of choice. That can be anything from talking about a recent episode to suggesting a film for a future guest. And two, make sure you're subscribed so you don't miss future episodes. It helps you, it helps us, and it helps new folks find the podcast. Thanks, and now back to the show. Welcome back. I am so excited to be joined by somebody that is from Chicago. I've said it before. I lived there for a while, but I'm excited to talk to a real Chicago blue collar beekeeper. I'm talking to Howard. Howard, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me. Howard Pitts. Nice to meet you.
Howard Pitts. I don't know anything about the world of beekeeping because to me, it seems like an absolutely terrifying job. What got you into beekeeping? Because again, it seems like it's a job. It seems like a hockey goalie. Only a crazy person would do it. So what got you into being a beekeeper?
Well, someone's got to keep them bees. Am I right? I just started collecting. All right. And I mm-hmm. found the easiest thing to collect was bees. And then it almost became like a see a need, feel a need kind of situation. There's a lot of shrubbery around. And bees like to hang around where there's a lot of shrubs and things like that so that they can feed.
Sure.
And not a lot of people want them around. And I said, I don't mind bees. In fact, I'm collecting bees. And so I just started taking up bees.
So this is just sort of like, you know, preparation and luck meet for an opportunistic career path. I don't even know if that's the right saying, but it just seems like it's very lucky that the thing that you love when you're a kid that you just happen to start doing, you're able to turn that into a job.
Yeah, I mean, not everybody's as lucky as me, and I know that. Not everybody know that I know that. But luck is turning, you know. Luck is something that runs out, so hopefully it stays on my side.
So what is it like? You know, I've lived in Chicago. I love the city. It's great. There's so much to do there in terms of culture, food, you know, entertainment. There's so much to do there. What is the bee scene like in Chicago? Because that's something that I never experienced in my time there. I never really heard anybody talk about it. So what's business like in the Windy City for you as a beekeeper?
Well, I mean, people call me from the suburbs and then I just drive my Ford on out to the suburbs. And then I collect their mm-hmm. bees and then I hop in my little Ford and then I drive on back to the city, which is where I keep all my bees. You would think I would be out in the suburbs, but I don't like it out there. It's too quiet.
I gotta tell you, I think I'm with you there. I like the city much better than the suburbs. A friend of mine, and I don't know this, you would be the person to ask about this because when I was, my nephew, he had a birthday party when he was real little. He was 6 or 7, I think. And they got a giant snake. They got like a whole jungle, like experience, like lizards and snakes and stuff. Do people Why? Do that with bees? Cause I think they wanted the kids to feel like, you know, cause animals are cool. I think kids like them at that age. I was scared because if that snake goes nuts, there's nothing we can do about it.
Yeah. I don't mess with snakes. You don't see Howard around no snakes. If you see a snake, you don't see Howard.
Do people do that with bees? I mean, are parents reaching out to you about, hey, bring bees to our kid's birthday party? This might be a fun idea. Let's like make honeycombs and stuff. Is that even a thing, or is that just irresponsible parenting?
Well, I mean, bees make honeycombs. I don't know how people would make honeycomb. So I don't get too many phone calls about coming around looking at bees and stuff like that. I get people wanting to know what's in my little smoke cans. That's what everybody asks about. What's in the smoke can? It's just smoke.
Are people disappointed by that answer? Because I think it does look so cool and it's so visually exciting that to find out it's just smoke might be kind of a letdown. Are people bummed when you tell them that?
Usually, yeah. I think they want it to be something. Start up your grill. You want to see smoke? Yeah. Put some coals on the fire. I mean, so that's what I do.
I'm ignorant on this subject because it seems like such a very practical, straightforward profession. And I kind of admire that because there isn't a lot of pomp and circumstance in beekeeping. So I sort of like the blue collarness of it all.
Yeah. I mean, I think I would call it a green collar. I mean, I ain't working too hard, just around here. Saving the planet, I guess, one bee at a time. I wouldn't call myself a hero. Somebody else might, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's not... I mean, the pomp and circumstance, I think, comes from when people find huge colonies under their...
Yeah.
Then they get, you know, they're freaking out. And I'm like, oh, the drama. I don't need that. I don't need that drama. So, yeah. Pomp and circumstance, that's not my thing. Take pomp and circumstance and tell them to go for a walk.
Well, you brought up drama, Howard, and I think I would be remiss if I didn't ask you about the events around Cabrini Green and the whole Candyman incident. I don't know how much detail you want to go into, but I think, you know, to at least scratch the surface, bees were involved in a lot of murder. What has that done to your business? How do you feel about that professionally and also personally? And what are your thoughts on Candyman? Because that's got to be tough for you.
Look, we all go through things that are hard, right?
Yeah.
But why do we have to come after another man's business? Okay. I have one thing that I know and love, and that's bees. Mm-hmm. And have them to be affected by a man who used them for murder. And ended up inside of a giant trash heap surrounded by what? The disgrace.
Yeah. So this is personal for you.
This cuts deep.
Yeah.
Okay. He stole the bees. He stole the bees from my county. When you wake up and the thing you love isn't there. And then come to find out they were a part of a murder, a mass murder.
Howard, I can't even, like, if somebody woke me up tomorrow and said, Adam, all of your Chris Claremont X-Men comics were used to murder a bunch of people, I would be like, I'm devastated by this. So I think I get it.
Are we canceling bees now? What kind of line of work am I going to have? It's their right. It's their say.
Sure.
You can't turn someone on their own. And I know that doesn't make sense what I just said, but the bees know what I'm talking about.
I think it does make sense, Howard, because, you know, I don't know how animals think. I'm no animal expert, but I would imagine that, you know, you've given your life to these bees, you know, blood, sweat, tears. I can only imagine the amount of times that you've been stung. And then out of nowhere, a guy shows up with a hook hand talking about, hey, I'm trying to get revenge on everybody. Why don't you come work for me for a little bit? And they just drop you for what? For a little bit of excitement? I think you can't turn on your own does make sense.
Have you heard of hypnosis? I just found out about this.
You just found out about hypnosis?
Have you heard of it?
I have heard of it, yeah.
Mind control. That's the only explanation. He was mind controlling my bees.
Well, how do you reconcile that, Howard? I mean, I know once a bee stings somebody, they die, but Are you able to make peace with those bees that have been mind controlled for murder against you? I mean, that's got to be a hard thing for you.
Look, it is going to be hard, but my heart is open. Also, the ones that stung, they've all passed away. Like, once you lose your stinger, that's it. Right? Once you lose your stinger, that's it. Right?
I think that's a great metaphor for life, too. I think once you lose your stinger, that's it.
That's it. Look, we're going to come back. We're going to be stronger than ever. The families are reuniting. The queen is in the cottage. Mm-hmm. We're going to be okay. We're going to come back from this. This isn't the last of Howard Pitts.
Howard Pitts, I'm curious, you know, and I don't know if this is something that you've thought about exploring because, you know, not wanting to be murdered by a hook, but, you know, getting a hold of Candyman doesn't seem very hard. You go into a bathroom or anywhere with a mirror, you say his name a couple times, he shows up. Have you thought about reaching out to Candyman and just having a sit down and being like, hey, man, you know, you do your thing, but don't use my bees.
I just don't like the idea of someone entering my home through a mirror.
Sure.
Like, if we could meet on the corner of 3rd and Albert, I'd be right there. But he's like, no, I got to come through. Mirrors are a gateway. Yeah, you heard about this? Mirrors are a gateway.
I've heard mirrors are a gateway to the soul, or that could be pictures. But yeah, I have heard
eyeballs?
Something like that.
The eyeballs.
I think that's right. Yes, the eyeballs are the gateway to the soul. Yes, and I don't know what I'm talking about.
No, that's okay, because you just made me realize something. Because if the eyeballs are the gateway to the soul, and the mirrors are a gateway to another, then he's trying to get into my. No, you can't be calling people through no mirrors. No, because they're trying to get through two gateways. Now, see, I found it. I figured it out. They didn't think I could. Ha ha! Judith, they didn't think I could do it, but I just did it. That's right. I solved the whole dang thing. I'm coming after you, Candyman.
You know what? I think, if anything, the thing that I love about this show is getting to meet people. And if I can help you come to some sort of resolution and find some peace with all of this, I'm glad that you were able to do that on this show.
You opened up a world for me, and I appreciate that, because I was spiraling hard. I now have a plan of retribution.
Have people been reluctant to call you to come collect their bees or to show off their bees? What with all the murder happening as a result of bees? What's that done to your pocketbook? Has it been tough for you and Judith?
Yeah, because all the bees are gone. He hijacked all the bees.
Oh, we got them all.
He got all the, you did all? The bees in that county are gone. So now I gotta, if I'm coming back, I guess I gotta move counties, or do I wait?
Boy, Howard, I don't know. I mean, you're a beekeeper with no bees. That's cruel is what that is. That's cruel.
Now, if I could get my bees to come back through the mirror without that dude, I think I'd be okay.
I don't know how, because I know about hypnosis. I know a little bit now about the windows are a gateway. I think we can do this. We got to get your bees back. And if not, let's say we can't do it, Howard. Let's say, you know, all of this, it just shits the bed. We can't get your bees back. Candyman's in control of your bees through hypnosis. What's on the horizon for you? Is there a backup plan? Is there another animal that you can, you know, collect and keep to yourself while showing off to other people, maybe for profit or just for pure amusement with smoke in a can? Is there anything like that on the back burner?
I guess the only thing I could think of is magic tricks. I mean, I could use smoke in a can for that.
Yeah.
I like magic. Maybe I could do some sliding. I think I could do some sliding hand.
You know what, Howard? Yeah. You're never too old. You're never too old to start over, Howard. And I think, if magic seems to be the natural progression from beekeeping to you know, career moves, it's definitely not a lateral move. I think this is a great idea.
I mean, I don't know how else you'd use the smoke. And I do like magic. You know what? Look for me in Vegas.
Howard Pitts, you know what? I'm going to look for you in Vegas because I think you're going to make it. And if Candyman, if you're listening, give those bees back.
Give me my bees.
Howard Pitts, this is a moment for you. That is, it's tough. You're in a real bind, but I appreciate you coming by. And you know what? It's great to talk to another Chicago resident. I'm so glad you came by. Howard Pitts, look for him in Vegas. Howard and Judith in Vegas doing sleight of hand with smoking a can. Sleight of hand with smoking a can, it rhymes.
Oh, I love it. I love it. I love it. Write it down. Judith, write it down. Sleight of hand, smoking. Sleight of hand, smoking a can.
We're Howard picks. Famous. You're a delight. I wish you nothing but the best. I will look for you in Vegas. Howard picks, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Be on the lookout.
Thank you so much for listening to My Neighbors Are Dead. I've been your host, Adam Peacock. The show is produced by myself with Nate DeFort and edited by Nate DeFort. Original music was done by Jesse Case, along with Dane Halverson, and our original artwork was done by Mark Nishan. I'd like to give a thanks to Janitra Tall for coming by and playing Howard and talking to me all about beekeeping. It's a fascinating business. If you don't know about it, please hit her up. If you want to know what's going on with Janitra, you can find her across all social media platforms at Janitra T. If you like the show and you want to support us, please like and subscribe. And if you'd like to donate to the show, you can find us on patreon.com at My Neighbors Are Dead. Follow us on Instagram at My Neighbors Are Dead and on Twitter at My Dead Neighbors. Again, thank you so much for listening to the show, and we'll see you next week.
Hi, my name is Lauren Ash. You may know me from starring in TV shows like Superstore or She-Ra or Scare Tactics.
And I'm her sister, Christy Oxborough, semi-professional researcher and fully certified internet sleuth.
And together, we are the hosts of True Crime and Cocktails, your new favorite true crime deep dive podcast.
In season one of our show, we extensively researched all of the new Netflix Unsolved Mysteries episodes.
And beginning in January 2021, season two will be a Famous Fatalities edition.
From mysterious celebrity deaths to famous unsolved cases, we'll be bringing you more boozy true crime combos.
So put on your PJs, pour yourself a drink, and join our true crime slumber party. New episodes of True Crime and Cocktails drop every Tuesday.
Campfire.